To support this station, do so right now and do so at the $5 a month or $10 a month level. Please call and support this station. $10 a month. Get a Democracy Now! T-shirt. Support the station that supports you. Or if you could do a $75 pledge, we can get you tickets to Diggable Planets. That's this week at the Crystal Ballroom. It's on the 28th. Go see a show with a loved one, get a pair of tickets, and support your community radio station. That is this coming Sunday, the 28th, at 9 p.m. at Crystal Ballroom. We have three pairs of tickets left for that. So call with your $75 contribution to KBOO. You can also split that up into monthly deduction of $6.25 a month, or maybe give a little bit more. Dig deep and support this station. 877-500-5266. We're close to our goal, but we need your support. Please call that number. We want to thank Clayton from Southeast Portland, who gave online, kboo.fm, another very easy way to give. Do so if you can, or call the number 877-500-KBOO. Again, online, kboo.fm. And we want to thank Cheryl from Northeast Portland for giving at kboo.fm. KBOO would like to thank Yahala Lebanese Cuisine Restaurant for donating food for our volunteers today. Yahala is located at 8005 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. You too can support KBOO Community Radio by calling in with your membership at 877-500-5266. Help sustain this community resource for Portland, Cascadia, and the world.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host Chris Hedges Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Hedges takes a provocative look at the current state of revolt in the United States and will recount the U.S.'s continuing history of domestic terrorism while outlining ways for communities to resist before it's too late. Again, that's Chris Hedges Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And now, a blast from the past, a little tidbit from the KBOO archives.
All the world is a stage. I know that's an old cliche, but how true most of the time. My world is the stage. I'm Darcel 15, female impersonator. Entertainment, information, world affairs are my business. To continue KBOO's business, they need your support. Pledge what you can and keep the entertainment, information, and world affairs on KBOO.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
The time is 6:02, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Take it to the beach.
That's what we planned. But she stood me up.
Roxanne.
I wanna be your man.
Roxanne.
And here's our game plan.
Here's your game plan. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, March 9th, just before midnight, as we celebrate a trip back in time to Queens, New York, 1984, as Roxanne Shanté and UTFO go at it. We'll be dropping tracks from the Roxanne Wars and celebrate her brand new hip-hop biopic. That's Thursday, just before midnight, on KBOO Portland.
Well, my name is Roxanne, but don't you know, I just a cold rock, a party, and I do this show.
A mix master!
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For information, you can visit gaypdx.com. And now, Gender Illusions.
Gender Illusion. What's up with that? What is gender illusion, and how can we tell the difference between personhood and societal influence on personhood? Who is a societal influence? When creating this segment, lots of themes around personhood came up, specifically around respect. Respect, or lack thereof, from the outside world towards gender nonconforming people, including the constant erasing of trans and queer history, specifically trans and queer history of people of color, whose cultures from the beginning of human history have held special places for them. These special positions have been leaders, truth tellers, record keepers, song keepers, besties, confidants, lovers, healers, musicologists, warriors, spiritualists. The list goes on. What does non-binary mean when so much of society is capitalizing on everything gender non-conforming people create while it tells them they never existed in the first place? If Rachel Dolezal can just be black, what's the difference between that and being transgender? Well, she can't just be black. We'll get to that later. My coming out story is still happening. I can't think of one singular big aha. There have been lots of ahas. This year marks the 10th anniversary I've come out to my mom, the third for my brother, and the second anniversary for my dad. Unless you count that time in 2006 that I defiantly said at dinner, there is nothing wrong with the LGBT agenda. That might have been a hint. And I said it before I, or my then partner, had understood the difference between sex and gender in our own lands. I have a kidlet now, whose birthday is coming soon. He's a full-fledged teenager. We are totally out in our home. And recognizing that the English language is severely limiting, our kidlet came up with the endearing terms momix and dadix to honor the non-binary qualities and realities of being non-cishet parents. That means parents who are not the gender they were assigned at birth and not heterosexual. Who do you want to come to your birthday and slumber party? I asked this morning. Well, momix, he sometimes calls me. Like how many people? Yes. So who are the girls? I tried not to swallow too hard. Our kidlet is a little girl crazy right now, and he recently discovered he might be fluid. Let's see, he says. Olivia, Ashley, Osetti, Brianna. Okay, and the boys? Omar, Leland, Jonah. I pause. How many people who are gender nonconforming? My kidlet paused back. I think Osetti and Brianna, but I don't know. Osetti sometimes is. I don't ask, and Osetti doesn't say anything. So how do you know? I asked back. Well, he said, they're different. Different, I echoed. Fair enough. This is an ongoing conversation, and our kidlet knows that. It's okay to let ahas come. It's okay to change your mind. And it's definitely okay if you're attracted to someone trans or queer or any other of the gender spectrum, and you're 14 years old. Just don't expect them to be able to sleep over at your birthday slumber party. Coming up next, you'll hear a few more non-binary stories, some anonymous, some not. Then later a panel on the differences between transgender and trans-ethnic.
And you are listening to your very own community radio station. This is KBOO. I'm Ani. I'm here with Zelos.
Yep, you are.
And at least I really hope that this is your community radio station. Have you made it your own? I mean, you're listening. I know you are a part of our community, but now I'm reaching out to you to ask you to reach deep into your pocket. And please support this program. Support queer programming on KBOO, because queer programming, there's just not enough of it in this world. And here we are bringing it to you live, local, queer-focused programs from so many of the queer communities in the little queer rainbow. You know, that's what we do here on Tuesday evenings every week of the month. And we're asking you to support it. Please call right now, 877-500-5266. That's the number to call, 877-500-5266. Jump on in to KBOO, your community radio station. Become a member of KBOO this evening, 877-500-5266.
It's true. It's true. I can't think of any other station, whether it's radio, TV, or even just publications that have a reoccurring dedicated segment you know, weekly to just the cutie pox, the rainbow folks, all the, I mean, I don't think I have enough minutes in our pitch here to really list off everybody in our amazing Rainbow Tribe. Boop boop, shout out to our Rainbow Tribe. You know, you can't get that anywhere else. And I have to say that I've never felt more welcomed here than on KBOO, where even just as I've come out, KBOO, actually everyone here, volunteers and staff, really were supportive at that life decision and reminded me about that, that is very important, that I deserve a place, just like you deserve a place. And I hope that you feel the same way. So in order for us to keep bringing this awesome Queer Boo Corner to you, where we have preference, you know, we have cutie pock talk, whoop whoop, cutie pock talk. We're going to have a new show onboarding in June about queerdom and sci-fi and spirituality and how that's really important.
Oh, how does that rock? That rocks.
How queer is that?
And there's also transpositive.
Transpositive.
I mean, and we're here. I mean, across that alphabet spectrum, we are here for you.
We are here for
so
you.
We're asking you to be here for us. It's reciprocal.
That's right. 877-500-5266. Again, that sparkling, beautiful rainbow number, 877-500-5266. You can also go online to KBOO FM, click donate, and send us your love so we can keep sending you some love, some queer love.
And we love to do it.
Yes, we do.
And we know you love to listen. So really, it is a labor of love. I am not even joking. It is absolutely true. And we're asking you to jump on in because, in fact, we are stronger with you. We all know that, right? That's the basic principle of solidarity. As we come out, as we make way for each other, we create a stronger, safer world for us all to exist in. And that's what it's about. We need your support, my friends. Please, just like you need KBOO in your ear, we need you in our membership. Call us, 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266.
So how about you just say your name?
My name is Angie the Swan.
So awesome. I know we're not supposed to ask whether that's your name, but I personally just want to know, was that your name that you gave to yourself, or you were born with the name the Swan?
No, I'm a Swan, but the Hell yeah, Swan family is very like attached to their last name. And so they're like, us Swans are this, and us Swans are that. We Black Swans are this. So... yeah,
that's pressure.
It's a British name. So yeah, we are. So I'm like, I'm attached. It's okay. I'll be attached to it. I was thinking about changing my name, and I'm like,
the trials.
Yeah, it's too much to like answer to a new name. I'm bad with names anyway. We've forgotten who they talking to.
Okay, I feel you.
Yeah,
I feel you.
Yeah.
All right. I always just wanted to know because you seem like a beautiful swan to me.
Thank you.
But I wasn't
indeed
sure.
I fly.
Indeed, you fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. What's your coming out story? Do you have one? Did you want to share one?
I have one, but it's like kind of dumb. My folks always thought I was gay. And they said I was so much like my mom, who was gay. And she presents masculine. And so... they just automatically assumed, and they would walk up to me and they would talk about girls, my cousins, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I date boys. And they were completely confused. So I didn't come out until I was ready, because I'm stubborn, and I came out when I was like 21. And it was weird because everybody's like, they don't care. A lot of people have a lot of like troubles, and my troubles was more with society and the way society dealt with me rather than my family.
I feel you. I just had the second coming out. I thought I was done, yeah. But this is actually technically my ninth coming out. Mm. I think they also saw, my mom definitely saw me dating or not. Well, for instance, first it was that the fact that I wasn't interested in marriage or guys from the get-go. So she was, in her words, fearful that I was going to be a lesbian, or that just like what that would mean. But as I got older, especially recently, going, no, that's not even, that's beside the point. Right. then they flipped out.
Because
the societal structures of what that would mean, like you could like anybody and yourself not be male or female.
Right.
Then there was no language for that, I think, was what has made it worse.
especially when African American and Black community has been so detached from where we came from. So there's a whole lot of Bible thump talk and what gender means to them. And it's so static that even if they accept you as who you are, they cannot deal emotionally with it. It's like, okay, well, that's who you are, great. But I cannot deal emotionally. And I'm like, well, you're not even in my skin. You should be fine.
Right.
It's not like I have like a virus or something.
Right.
Like it's like, you know, communicable or something. But that's the way they feel. And I've tried to have empathy only because I started off just as brainwashed. I left. I started off with the fear of being who I am. I started off getting the Bible thump every day. And so I understand that some people are not able to leave the matrix. So it's,
right.
You know, the problem is that I have so many queer friends now who are like, nope, they're the enemy. And I'm like, but I can't, because I can't see them as the enemy if we're all going to be free.
Yeah.
And so that's the biggest hurt and the biggest heartache. Like, I'm fighting for people who wish me dead. I'm fighting for people who don't want me to exist. And it hurts. So, yeah.
Oh, that is so eloquent. Not just sums up how I'm feeling lately, you know. And my brother and I thought we were really close, and when it really hit him what I was saying, he had an emotional breakdown that I've never seen before. The things that he was saying to me, the words that was coming out of his mouth, he'd never spoken that to me. He'd been a jerk before, you know, and we've definitely had our fights, but this was like, where is this coming from? Like, he's defended me from bullies in the past for different matters, that it just is unreal. That I think definitely for him, what I saw was that the social construct of Black culture and family was so tight that he was not emotionally able to deal with it. And he immediately went to the whole like, well, I don't see you that way. I can't understand how that feels or what that means, and was internalizing it a lot, to which I was thinking, and my partner was thinking, because I was there, like, what's that got to, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It doesn't impact you. It's me and my skin. You are not experiencing
right. This
in your skin. But it was definitely just such a strict, like, we don't know ourselves in the first place. So I think it doubly blows everyone's minds in a way that I don't really feel like it blows a lot of people who are white in that situation, or at least I've seen, like, they also go through terrible things. But I think that there's another few levels of identification there already.
Right.
Whereas for people of color, I don't think that that's there.
Well, the family aspect is extremely important, and because we had to have those close ties. So when they feel like the family is threatened, And it is, goes to a macro level when people believe that it's bad for the race for there to be queer people only because they're afraid of being attacked more. And they're like, well, you're hurting us because you're going to get attacked. Therefore, I'm going to get attacked. It's leftover collectivism. It's not a bad thing. The problem is that stop looking at me, I'm not the problem. It's the oppressor. Get mad with the oppressor mm-hmm. for attacking mm-hmm. me, not me. You know, it's a victim blame thing, and so not to take away the importance of the family, because that's the stuff that got me through. But the importance of love and empathy and collectivism, those things are extremely important and things that we need to actively reclaim in a society that dares to tell us not to be who we are. My biggest issue is that we jump into victim blaming constantly because we're afraid. We, you know, crab buckets, all those cliches. So I just want to make sure that people understand like where it comes from, and try not to, like, sometimes it'll freak you out if you get talked to that way, like if it's a family member or just another person that is related to somebody you care about. You freak out. You may not cry or nothing, you just like
Definitely freaked out.
You and you may not have the right words at the time. This assumption is like, well, you should have said this. You should have told them that. You may not even have that at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, recently, my girlfriend came out to her parent, her family. They talked about it like it was no big deal, but her parent told me, she said, what are you, a boy or a girl? There's men and there's women. What are you? And of course, being afraid, I was like, I'm a woman. How was I going to break that completely down? Because this person understood that I wasn't cis.
Mm-hmm. They know.
You know, nobody's completely dense. They know. Mm-hmm. You know, but the issue is, how do I do it how do I explain this to somebody who's practically homophobic? Like, really, you know, what do you do in bed? What do you do? Those things get said to non-cis people a lot more than cis folks, even if they are queer. You get these type of questions because they don't see you as a person. Mm-hmm. They see you as a thing. You don't have personhood. Mm-hmm. And so, you don't have personhood. And if you are a woman with an X, you have less, you don't have womanhood either. So I don't mind being called she because I don't want anyone to take my womanhood away. I've been attacked a lot because people didn't think I was a woman or they didn't think I had womanhood. I'd say mm-hmm. that more so. And so many people who present masculine or who are gender nonconforming on in the spectrum get denied personhood mm-hmm. and get denied womanhood and or maleness. There are femme men who get denied maleness because they're not rough enough or they're not hyper masculine enough. So there's this big issue. And so when you do come out to your family, you know, or shoot, if you come out as not Christian, you get, you know, trailed or trolled, you know. If you come out as not Muslim to your family or agnostic or I practice African spiritualism, that's just like one of those moments, you know. So
that is powerful. Like, personhood, I feel like, could be the theme for what we're all going to be talking about, it seems like, just because you speak the truth. I mean, there's the pressure to perform one way or the other, and this
this presumption that those who are Christian or those in our culture that are emotionally having a difficult time digesting, because it makes them think about themselves and how they identify, mm-hmm. What one can be, the possibilities that does get taken away because they're not seeing non-binary or, you know, people as actual people, which totally intersects with being, you know, of color, where mm-hmm. we were never intended to be actual citizens. Mm-hmm. And the upshot of that is that our culture is still figuring out what that is. Like, what, who are we? You know, we're reclaiming, we're owning our history, we're finding out what that is. But I definitely understand, or I feel I understand where you're coming from with, like, you know, with, you know, what being comfortable called she. And that's another conversation I feel like comes up a lot with those who are cis, is like, well, you know, why do I have to call you this or that? Why is there so many options? And also, like, you know, like,
because
I am infinite, right? Which, of course, right? We're infinite.
We are infinite. I love that line. Thank you, Zelos, for that interview, for that discussion, that conversation, really, more than an interview. It is a wonderful thing to hear. Why is it a wonderful thing to hear? Because it is real people telling their stories. And when each of us lives our truth and when each of us speaks our truth, we are stronger. The entire community is stronger. The entire world is better. I'm Ani. I'm here this afternoon with KBOO, the community radio station. We are the penultimate day of the membership drive. And right now I'm asking you to stop what you're doing and actually support this very important program, this very important conversation that you're hearing right now. Call us at 877-500-5266. It's an important thing to do. It's an empowering thing to do. And the reason for that is, well, where else do you get this kind of conversation? Right now, there are people listening who are struggling. Right now, there are people listening who are coming out. Right now, there are people listening who are questioning or who have been hurt by the system of bigotry and have been told that they are less because of who they are. And here at KBOO, we make a big, big circle around these folks. And we say, you are beautiful. You are welcome. And we are glad that you exist in our community. Right now, my friends, I'm asking you to think about what that means. Really, it's a lifeline to people. I know. Please, go ahead, reach in your pocket and take a leap of faith. Support KBOO Community Radio with your $10 a month contribution. And let us know that you are there and that you will be there for us next month, as we will be there for you month after month after month, providing insightful and inciting conversations, providing information that we need so that we can know each other's stories, we can build bridges, and we can stand stronger together. Go ahead and call us with your contribution at 877-500-5266 and add your strength to the rest of this community, and know that this is your time to stand up and be counted. Know that this is your time to say, yeah, I want to make sure that queer voices are heard. I want to take a stance against bigotry. I want to take a stance for understanding. And I'm going to give $10 a month to my community radio station to make sure that this microphone stays on and that marginalized communities can always find a home here. Please do contribute right now at 877-500-5266. We are ending our spring membership drive tomorrow. Right now, I have to just level with you, my friends. We are pretty substantively behind our goal, and we can gain ground with your support. It is crucial that you call now at 877-500-5266 and say, yes, you have $10 and you'd like to contribute it this month, next month, the month after that, throughout the year. You want to sustain us. You want to become a sustaining member of KBOO. You can do it very quickly, very easily, right now by calling 877-500-5266. Online, you can get us at KBOO.com. anchor.fm. However you can connect, just do it right now. Your support makes a huge difference. Whatever level you can support, if you can give that gift of $10 a month, that's wonderful. Please renew your membership or become a new member of KBOO today. Perhaps you are somebody who's been giving in a monthly way for quite a while, and you haven't really noticed it coming out of your bank account, because it's true, it is kind of painless. As Matt was saying earlier today, it's a little cachectomy every month. Go ahead and bump that up just a dollar or two every month. Make a substantive difference. You make a difference with your participation in your community radio station. Call us at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Right now, we are looking to kind of change up the game here this evening during this Queer Boo segment. We've been listening to this conversation that Zelos had pre-recorded. And, well, Zelos and myself and Teresa are all sitting around the room. We are listening to this conversation. We are just talking about our own experiences. And so we've decided to actually take that live to the airwaves, because KBOO is about spontaneous action, right? That's actually one of the values in our program charter, along with peace and justice and democracy, human rights, freedom of expression, social change, environmentalism. Those are all values, but also is spontaneity and a sense of trying something different. And so we're actually going to transition right now to a live, unscripted conversation about our own experiences of being genderqueer in this city, in this world, and what that means. Because, you know, it means a lot, actually, and it means a different thing to each genderqueer who is coming out, who is questioning themselves, who is connecting, and who is finding their place in community. And I'm asking you to go ahead and support this by calling 877-500-5266. Help us be stronger together. Add your strength to this amazing community resource. 877-500-5266.
And here we are.
Hi, Zelos.
Hi, Teresa. This is actually pretty cool, because we're so busy producing news during the day, there's a little time for chit-chat about those human things that make us human.
Human things.
Yeah, human things. Ani will be joining us momentarily, I'm
sure.
Well,
that's good. I'm feeling mighty queer. I think it'd be appropriate if Ani were to join us.
That's funny. I'm also feeling mighty queer.
That's something I used to like to say loudly when I was a TriMet driver, and I would go into the what they call the bullpen, which is still there, and we had racks of newspapers, and one of them was the Just Out newspaper, and someone would come around and put Willamette Week or Mercury newspapers on top of the Just Out newspapers, and I would put them back in their place, and I would say, there's something really queer about this.
That's what I love about
just
you,
to
dear.
To see who jumped, you know?
Yeah. I always thought, you know, who jumped, like, you're queer, aren't you? Yes, you are. You wouldn't have jumped so high if you weren't a little frightened, because that's the world we live in.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I want to start out just with a little tidbit that not everyone knows. Certainly some people do, because I have told the story a couple of times. But, you know, people have often said, yeah, God, Ani, you spend a lot of time at KBOO. It's like, well, yeah, it's my day job, and I volunteer there, and I've done this for 27 years. And why did I do it? Because KBOO saved my life. And it is a very real thing for me, because I grew up in Portland. I was born here. And I remember hitting my adolescence and thinking, I'm not quite like everyone else. And I know that's a sort of typical headspace for an adolescent to be in, right? There is no one that ever has known my pain. But I started realizing, in fact, that I was queer. And I'm talking 1978. I was 12 years old. And I realized that the only way I knew what queer was because Anita Bryant was leading a crusade against us. And so the only mention I'd ever heard of a gay lesbian community, because let's face it, 1978, it was the gay and lesbian community, and we did not have the big alphabet yet. And the only times I'd ever heard gays or lesbians mentioned was when Anita Bryant was leading a crusade against their sinful natures, and that was it. And I was like, wow, I guess I'm not the only one, and the only reason I know I'm not the only one is because people hate us. And as a 12-year-old, that was kind of devastating. There was no one I could talk to in my family. And I, you know, was getting beaten up by other kids at my school because I wouldn't deny it. You know, yes, I did have David Bowie and Patti Smith in my locker, you know, for pinups, as opposed to Sean Cassidy and, you know, whoever else. It was like Sean Cassidy
Sean
and Parker Cassidy? Stevenson.
Who is that?
They were the Hardy Boys, you know, whatever. Like, you know, so I had gravitated towards, well, the androgynous. And because people would say, why do you have that in your locker? I'm like, well, why do you have Sean Cassidy in yours? Oh, so you're a lesbian. I'm like, what? Okay. Sure. You know, enter queer bashing and enter me questioning, damn, I'm 12. Mm-hmm. How am I going to get out of this alive? You know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? This is it. I guess I get to be alienated and I'm probably just going to die. And probably I should. And then I heard Queersville on KABU. And Queersville was a show in the 70s produced by a couple of, more than a couple of folks. But I happened to hear it when it was being produced by Howie Bag of Donuts and Carol Steinell, who were amazing comedians in the queer community in Portland. And I heard the show and I thought, damn, there are other people like me and they're funny. And they're witty, and they have a radio station that they can talk from. And I kind of committed to figuring out what this KABU thing was. And, you know, in high school, I started doing an internship here, and the rest, as they say, is history. But that's why I'm so committed to the station, because I know it saved my life. And I know that we've done that to other people and for other people, you know, that we are here providing a microphone for marginalized voices is so hugely important. And that's, you know, that's my initial coming out story.
That's amazing.
There's so many others.
That is so amazing and validating. I was talking to you as we were coming into the studio to do the second special half about my brother and my family who, not all of my family. I shouldn't generalize, you know, mainly my mother and my brother who are pretty much like, trans people deserve to die. You know, my mother was like immigrants too. Mm. And I was like, how can you say that? We're of color. You know, and they were like, you're always going to be this person. I'm like, well, then you've never known me at all. And, you know, but then my brother, part of that conversation coming out for like what feels like the umpteenth time was telling him, you know, he was saying to me, well, why didn't you come out sooner? I don't see why you didn't do that. I'm entitled to know. What could trans people be going through? Like, I don't know what you mean by there's no such thing as a safe space if you're a trans person. And I was so blown away by that assumption. I said, you have no idea who I am. Like, you, like, what makes you think anyway, I'm the older sibling, by the way, that I would ever tell you every single, you know, encounter I've ever had or any of that stuff? Or like, who, like, where you were, you're like, how would you know that? And also, like, how obtuse is that? I said, you like, considering the laws that are getting repealed in certain states, and, you know, Ani, like, you talking about your experience at 12, I was like, yeah, that's same. I mean, where are the motion pictures that are really not with our telltale coming of age stories that are like 12, you really know some things are afoot at the Circle K, you know? It's blatantly obvious. There's the scene where some kid tries to beat you up, you know, and there's, you know, you're collecting androgynous pictures of people and feeling really confused and also just not seeing yourself represented anywhere and not having vocabulary because 12, and also, you know, and also like we didn't have most of the vocabulary we had today even in when I was 12. So I just totally, you know, to where you know, eventually, I'm going to have another talk with my brother who, you know, has, you know, it got to the point where we had to just cut, you know, our kidlet off from him. You know, I mean, it was a choice that we let our son make about that. But, you know, and I'm sure that conversation will be fraught with peril and cliches and stuff like that, because he's coming from the side that's like, well, what could you possibly be going through? Or like, you know, he came back with, well, I think I, he goes, I know what transgender is. It's just about gender roles, right? And I'm just like, oh man. miles to go have we, but
right
in coming to KBOO, like it's been, I mean, I just happened to come at a pivotal time. I didn't plan it that way, you know. I am new, but and I've come out to my family several times, but this time I've been making like a lot of clarity has happened for me in the last couple years, and there's, you know, motions for different surgeries that mm-hmm. are about to happen, and then a really what feels like a very final name change is happening, you know. And I had never been in a work environment at all that supported that, and only some knew, like I think you knew because we were just met, and it was like, well, obviously. you know, but you know, in that staff came to me one by one, and that was really brilliant, and said, you know, we'll call you whatever you want to be called. And I said, well, it's this name change isn't formally made yet. And everyone said, we don't care about that. It's what you want to be called, and that's your name, and it's about you. And I was like, really? And after that, then it was like this really awesome kind of staff announcement, and the new business cards were made with my new name on it. And I felt so welcomed. I just hadn't really occurred to me that it could be like that, even though it's like that for, you know, non-trans people like, I just want my name hyphenated. No one's like, okay, can I see your papers about that? Right. No one's ever doing, you know, but for our category, it's like that, where it's like just this proof of life that's continually mm-hmm. happening. But, and that's been wonderful. Like, I didn't anticipate that dream. I was just happy to be here, but support, you know, community-based journalism, that the personal connections I've made here has been incredible, you know.
I want to get into Teresa's story in a couple of minutes, but first, I want to just sort of ask our listeners right now to connect with us, because we are connecting with you. We are laying it out, you know, pretty much raw. You know, we are here telling our stories on the air, unscripted, and being real with each other and being real with you, our listeners, because you deserve this. You deserve reality radio. And I mean that in the very true sense of the word, because we know that homophobia exists and xenophobia exists because, well, because of a lot of reasons. Okay, we don't have a year and a half for my dissertation
to go into why it exists.
But let me say this about that. One of the reasons that allows it to exist is because we are afraid to tell our truth. And we are afraid to be the person that is going to say, no, you know, when you say that you don't know any queer people, you do.
You do.
It's me. You know, and every time we do that, every time we come out to family, to coworkers, to neighbors, to whoever, you know, we become stronger. We become stronger inside our own beings because we've spoken our truth, and the entire community benefits from that truth telling. And right now, my friends, you are benefiting by listening. We are so appreciative of your ears, but please do support this program with your pocketbook as well. Please call us. This is our spring membership drive, and we are asking for your support at 877-500-5266. It's a great time to jump into the KBOO community. It's a great time to stand up and be counted as somebody who, in fact, supports marginalized voices, having a microphone, having a platform, being able to reach out and connect movements, discuss intersectionality, discuss how we can make a difference in this world, how we can make this world a better place for each other and for ourselves. Please, your act of solidarity is tremendous, and it comes right now in the form of a phone call to your community radio station, 877-500-5266, or online. You can get us at kboo.fm. You can do this right now. I would suggest that you jump in as a monthly contributor, because it makes giving a really substantial sum of money easy to do. I know I could never kick down $120 all at once. I just couldn't do it. And yet, actually, I give a lot more than that every year, because I do it 1 month at a time. And I can budget in $20 a month for KBOO, because I do appreciate all of the goodness that KBOO gives the entire community, so many communities. 877-500-5266. Jump on into your KBOO community membership right now. 877-500-5266. You can also grab us online at kboo.fm. And so, hey, Teresa. So first of all, I'm just going to go ahead and point out you're a scooch older than us, and I'm a scooch older than Zelos. Wow. You know, so I mean, we got this like great age span of you know.
You guys don't look a day over 12. Just kidding.
and that you actually grew up in a very conservative part of the country.
Yeah, kind of. Texas. Okay. So 1961, I'm thinking about gender, but I can't think about it very directly. I just know that my folks say I'm a boy, I must be a boy, except I'm a girl, but that's okay because I don't really know what the difference is. Anyway, I remember my mother bringing me to see her friend and her friend's naked baby jumping up and down on her knee, on her lap, and I asked what gender the baby was, and they laughed. And they said, "Don't you know?" And I was just like, "No," because I knew I was a girl, but I was supposed to be a boy. And it's been like that. And the thing that I was thinking about while y'all were talking is the shadows that queerness casts is the real problem the society has with us. Because when you look at the variety of human gender and the variety of human orientation, you can see by the shadows that are cast that heterosexuality and binary gender is just a load of crap. It's an exaggeration. It's as if human beings who are in their mating phase for a couple of decades or so were doing that all of their lives, as if we were defined like tarantulas or newts instead of defined by, you know, what we really are is huge-brained dolphin bonobo-type beings who have vastly sophisticated and intricate gender and orientation characteristics. And so being queer, being transgender for me was something that simply did not and could not fit within the comprehension of Texas in 1961 or 68 or 75 for that matter. And so I decided that I must have some deeply deeply rooted psychological problem, and by God, I was gonna get over it. And I worked on that and for about four decades, and then I finally realized, thanks to other people and thanks to KBOO in part, thanks to people who come out and blazed a trail, that no, it really is like that just for me. It's not a case of every man fighting the urge to be a woman. They don't.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That fight was going on inside me, and that constant urge emanating in my brain, going through my body and coming back to my brain, that said that my body needed to have female characteristics, wasn't ever going to go away. And so here I am coming out again in this way on KBOO, which you can join at 877-500-5266. And I'm doing it in part because there might be, well, you out there listening to me thinking, "Oh, no, I've just got a problem. I'm going to get over this." Well, deep down, I think you know the difference. It's not it's not an idea that you just had. If you're trans, if you're non-binary gender, if you're gay, lesbian, if you're any of those things that is not gender binary and bi-oriented, whoops, that's the wrong way to say it. If you're not part of that orientation dichotomy that we're encouraged to accept, well, that's real, and you know deep down what you are and what it is, and here's KBOO, and KBOO is here for you, whether you define yourself as, you know, straight and male or female or not. We are here to accept you and to accept what is real and to move forward on the basis of what is real.
Absolutely. I think I will never forget the... So for those listening at home, if you are, you know, keeping track of your KBOO personalities over the years, then you may know that Teresa and I actually got together 1994, that's 23 years ago during the spring membership drive. So this is an anniversary of sorts. you know, and at that point, Teresa had not yet come out, and I was a flaming radical queer, and I'm like,
wait, what?
Well, I still am. Okay, fine. But I was just taking us down memory lane to 1994. Okay. It's okay.
Continue.
Thank you.
Be the bomb you throw.
And you know, there was a lot of interesting reactions from friends of mine who are like, What, you're queer? What, you're, I'm like, yeah, I'm queer, and I don't need anyone to tell me who I'm allowed to love, and I don't need anyone to tell me who I'm allowed to date, including my peer group. Thank you. And so we got together, and apparently, to many people, this confused them. And I will never forget my adopted mom's reaction when Teresa came out to my adopted mom. We took her out to dinner. and we were like, we got some information for you. and you know, we had been together for about 6 years, I guess, at that point. And Teresa says, well, you know, I'm transgender. I'm changing my name to Teresa, and I'm living my life from here on out as a woman. And Jean, bless her, and you know, may she, you know, she's great. Just started tearing up immediately and was overwhelmed with upsettedness. And I said, Mom, what's going on with you? Like, what? She says, oh, I just thought you were okay now. Oh, as if, you know, being in a relationship with somebody who appeared to be male, you know, she had finally decided that I'd come out of my phase. Never is going to happen, you know, and that whole idea that to be validated means, you know, we cut off parts of ourselves. We cut off our identities, you know, because we want to make other people comfortable. And I am so very glad that we are moving more and more in a direction in a world where we don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And where we're able to say, you might be upset by this right now, but really, we're fine. There is a lot of people out there who feel, you know, in the same way I do. And here, let me give you these resources. Here, let me actually have you talk to some people who can help to explain this to you. And I'm very excited that those resources are much more available than they had been in 20 years ago.
I totally agree. What you said about just not needing that info from your peer group, I think is really important because what we were listening to earlier, Gender Illusions, had a lot of cutie pox on there, and we were just talking about how much more difficult it is for cutie pox because we don't have that personhood to start with. And so when we come out to our families, there's a huge community backlash that can happen for that, just because we feel like all we have is, it seems like these days, our recipes and our blood ties to keep us connected to something historical. And so that could be painful. But at the same time, you know, we have our, what I've been calling, you know, real family, those that we're connecting with in the community, you know, but at the same time, I feel this, you know, this self-evaluation that's going on, like as I've made this clean sweep in these decisions, you know, to come out, you know, in total, there's been a like, what does queer mean to me? And I've seen it change just in my life, which has, you know, gone from something that seemed to involve trans, and then it was just like the questioning. I've run into a lot of people like, oh, it just means you're questioning. I'm like, well, I'm not cool about that. I'm done questioning. Like, I know there'll be questions, but I think I pretty much have this figured out. But then understanding that spectrum, and then like also defining what femme is, that's something that I've had a really hard time accepting at where I go out and people say, oh, you're femme, you know, I'm like, don't call me that because you don't even know who I am exactly, you know. And I understand it though, that inversion, that being invisible, that because you are presenting in a certain way that you are, that, you know, cis people are reading it as that, you know. But I couldn't have a space for that, for all these thoughts, really, if it wasn't for people I've met here like you, and like you, Teresa, and like just other, frankly, really understanding allies here. I have to, I know we're running out of time, but I have to share a story with
Share the story.
VJ, who's here. I hope you're listening, VJ, because you made my world. Came to me asking for writing help. She came to me in the newsroom about this socialist sort of protest situation. And she was really strung up about how they were portraying, they were talking about people and categories that they were inclusive of, which included non-binary trans people, which is my corner. And but they had this like 5-word descriptor for what, instead of just non-binary trans. So she came back to us, I just think that there's an easier way, said, than these 5 or 6 words. I can't even remember what it was. It was like female, masculine, intersecting,
people of color, non-people of color who intersect with transgender realms. And I was copy editing is so important. But also
that's writing by committee.
But also, yeah. And what really got me though is, and it was a really hard day that day. I can't remember why it was so hard, but my family was sending me clear messages about how they were feeling about changes they knew were happening, even though no one was talking about it. You know, and Vijay came up. She goes, I'm a, you know, telltale butch dyke, but I don't understand transgenderism, but I don't feel like I have to understand that. And it's important to me that people, though, understand you and get it right. And I want to know how you want to be represented. And I didn't realize that I was carrying a pit in my stomach since I was a teenager, because when I started coming out as past 12 and at 16, there was a lot of pushback about bisexuals and what's lesbian, what's not. And I felt really ousted by that. But to have Vijay come back from that corner that supposedly I felt was responsible for keeping me in the closet to say, I care about you, that changed my world. But I wouldn't be able to do that if I wasn't here at KBOO. And so I hope that you'll reach back out to us, audience, and donate 877-500-5266. It could be $5 a month. What's that? That's a frou-frou coffee.
It's maybe even less than a frou-frou coffee if you tip, right?
Right, or like
you should.
Right, you're right.
Like, I've been a barista, tip. Right? You know, but yeah, no, really, what can you do for $5 a month that's going to change the world?
Oh, donate to KBOO. That's what you could
do. That's what you could do.
So that we could keep making these connections, and that, you know, you people out there can keep making these connections, because you're not going to get this anywhere else. It really is unprecedented. It's a very, you know, we use the word special and magical, but those are just really lugubrious terms for what just should be every day. This is what the mundane should be like every day and is and can is here. So 877-500-5266, $5 a month, you know, that gets you eternal bliss in the Queerboo Corner.
Absolutely.
Right.
And nothing's free.
You know that you're doing your part, right?
Yeah. And I used to think of KBOO in terms of not having ads. We don't have ads, I would say, comparing us to commercial radio. And now I'm thinking of the internet. We don't track you.
That's true.
Now, if you're
too.
Online, suppose you're being tracked in some way.
Also, we're too busy to do that.
Right, but you can listen to us with a terrestrial battery-powered radio, and nobody has still got the equipment left over from the 60s and 70s to track what station you're listening to. You're free. You can listen to us, but we have to have our funding model, which is little contributions from lots of people keeps us honest. 877-500-5266. And how honest can you get? We're here. We're opening our souls to you because we care about, especially those of you who have not come out yet and who are being aggressed upon by the Trump phenomenon. Well, we've got your back. We're still here and we're not going to stop no matter what.
Absolutely. 877-500-5266. Support this radio station. Support this resource that helps build those bridges that is a lifeline in a very literal sense to so many people. Right now is a great time to jump on in. $5 a month, as Zelos was saying, what else can you do with $5 a month that's going to make the world a better place? You can get your KBOO membership. You can be a part of this amazing independent radio station, this amazing community resource where we tell our stories, and we do it really throughout the day, every day. We can do it through music. We can do it through poetry. We can do it through theater. We can do it through the news and public affairs. We tell stories. We connect. We are authentic. We are real people. Somebody was suggesting real people, real voices for a motto for us like a long time ago. And it was like, yeah, that's just sort of course. Like, who else would we be, right?
I love that. Real people, real voices.
We are authentic.
It's true.
And you know, sometimes it's, you know, I have some friends that say, you know, KBOO, it's kind of exciting listening because it's like radio with the seams showing. Like, you know, you never really know what's going to happen. Like, most of the time, it's totally fantastic. And every now and again, there's like this thing that will happen that you're actually hearing people deal with in real time, because that's what we are. We're community members coming together to make this independent media resource. And right now, you are an important part of it. You are listening, and that gives us a reason for being. And now we're asking you to support that effort with a little of your finances. Become a monthly sustaining member of KBOO. If you are already a monthly sustaining member of KBOO, I have to say we are, you know, several thousand dollars behind our goal in the spring membership drive. This is an amazing and important time for you to make an additional gift. If you are already giving $10 a month, think about right now giving an additional gift of $20 just once right off the bat. Just do it and say, yeah, you want to help close that gap for the spring membership drive. You believe in what we're doing and you want to be a KBOO supporter. You want to back this amazing programming that we offer day in and day out. And we do it with love from the community and we do it with love for the community. Please be a part, reciprocate, because, you know, throughout the day, we know it's important, but queers, come on. Unrequited love is sad. So please, requit.
Please requit. And I, before, that's great.
877-500-5266. We've had some people join us.
I wanted to, there's so many good words on this segment tonight. We want to thank Leo in Southeast Portland. You're new. Thank you so much, Leo. Megan, renewing in Southeast Portland, you are the bomb.
Yay!
And I don't think we got to thank the last hour. Matthew in Southeast increased his monthly, and that is amazing.
Yes.
I'm hoping that those listening also feel really moved to do that. 877-500-5266. I kind of feel like Tinkerbell, every time somebody increases their pledge, can fly a little higher. Yeah, it's like the sound of clapping, you know. It means a lot to us. Please keep spreading that fairy dust. We are real. 877-500-5266. It's not just a financial donation that you're doing. What really is happening is you're becoming part of humanity. And I mean that in the total sense. By donating to KBOO, you are allowing and making a strong statement that you believe in not just community radio. You hear that a lot, but what that means is yourself. You believe in yourself. You believe in the right to be happy. You believe in the right for those that you love and care about to be happy, and that you believe in a world that is motivated by unconditional love and free information and strength. And that's what really is going into a $5 donation or a $10 donation. And that's really all it takes, step by step. So 877-500-5266, become part of a community, become part of the world and true voices.
Absolutely. This is your moment. Please jump on in. 877-500-5266. I want to thank Zelos and Teresa for being receptive to my wacky idea that I had, I don't know, 10 minutes after the hour started. And I was like, whoa, wait, look at the three of us. We're sitting right here, gender queers together. Let's just talk. Thank you. And
thank you.
And please join us. 877-500-5266 with your We're Stronger.